ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I've told you guys know this. I kind of drive it home. If it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. Hold on to that. You won't go wrong. Don't follow in their ways. Just draw close to God through His Word, and you won't go wrong. Don't deviate from it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. In Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 17, this is how the Lord feels about this stuff. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. The Lord's warning, don't listen to them, because they're not speaking for him. How do we know that? Because it's contrary to what he said. And thus, their own plans, their own ideas are worthless. In fact, Ephesians 5:11, Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Yes, expose the false teachers and their false teaching. Don't make excuses for them. Don't embrace what they're saying. And yet today, they're promoted in the church. They're writing books. They have all kinds of platforms that they use to promote the stuff that they're bringing in. Again, I don't want to offend anyone, but the whole psychobabble stuff, bringing psychology in the church, just drives me crazy. Do you think Sigmund Freud is able to give us better counsel than Jesus Christ? It's pretty simple. In fact, do you know Sigmund Freud hated people? He died with no friends. Here was the guy that's supposed to help get your mind back on track. He couldn't even do it. Jesus Christ loves us, doesn't hate us. He loves us and died for us. Who do I want to go to as my counselor? Jesus, because he has all the answers. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul wrote, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Wow. Avoid them. Don't embrace them. And that's not what I have to say. That's what Paul said through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Also, Paul wrote in Titus 3, verses 9 and 11, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and useless. Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Don't get in disputes with them because they've already made up their mind. It doesn't matter how much scripture you show them. And I've seen this over the years. You could show them scripture after scripture to show, you know, that's not right what you're saying. And they don't even see it. They refuse to see it. It finally comes to the point where we're done. There's no point going on. I've heard people say, well, you know, Paul was wrong, or, you know, we don't understand what Paul was writing. It's pretty clear. But if it goes against what they're believing, then someone's got to be wrong. Well, guess what? It's not God. It's pretty simple. Test all things, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, hold fast what is good. Yeah, test all things, guys, especially in these days we're living in. There's always something new out there. Bring it into the light of the scriptures. I guess that's the best thing we can do. So remove false teachers and false teaching from our church and our lives. But also, here's something that we need to do, though. And this is important. Examine it. Make sure you have the correct information in the situation that you find yourself in. Here we see the children of Israel living on the west side of the Jordan River in the Promised Land. They send representatives to find out, hey, what's going on here? What's this altar all about before they go to war? So Phinehas, the high priest, 10 men from the 10 tribes of Israel, not involved in this compromise, came to meet these rebels on the east side of the Jordan River. And Phinehas confronts them in Gilead, saying, you know, your sin will not only affect you, but the whole nation of Israel. You got to stop this. And he links it to, like, the sin of Peor through the counsel of Balaam. It caused a curse to come upon the whole nation. Remember, King Balak sent for the prophet Balaam to curse the children of Israel. They saw them in the land. Balak thought, we're in trouble. We're dead. So I want a curse to be placed upon them. They caused Balaam. And God said to Balaam, you are not going to curse these people. He tried four times, couldn't do it. He blessed them. Well, finally, he wanted to get paid. He tells Balak, hey, look, you know what? I can't put a curse on them, but let the children of Israel put a curse on themselves. Why don't you get your Moabite women dressed in those short skirts with the fancy makeup on, the earrings, and let them go out and seduce your men? And it worked beautifully. And they were seduced. That sin affected the nation. We also see the sin of Achan, how it affected the whole nation. He took the spoils of victory from Jericho. Remember Jericho? God said, the spoils of this victory, the first fruits, are mine, not yours. Don't take anything. And he did. And it affected the nation. When they went to battle against Ai, I think it was 10 men lost their lives. No men lost their lives at the Battle of Jericho. This Ai was a little city. It should have been easy to take. But because sin was in the camp, they lost the battle. Israel here is aware of all that went on. They remember what happened some 40 plus years earlier when the children of Israel refused to enter the promised land. They rebelled against God and the consequences of that. And now they want to deal with this right away. We need to be careful in how we portray ourselves, what we do, how we deal with problems within the church, how we deal. You know, some people use Facebook as their platform to just go after people. I'll message people if they do that to be one-on-one with them because Facebook isn't the place to be. And we need people to understand that we may not agree with their lifestyles, the unsaved, but we love them. We care about them. I don't know if you remember, this is probably 20 years ago now, I would think, when that gay man was killed out west and they had a pastor on TV. Let me say this. When the news media wants to interview a Christian, they will get the most bizarre, strange person they can find. My brother-in-law, who was going into doing video for the news, this is probably 30-some years ago, almost, 35 years ago, this was going on. And it was about abortion protest. And they had this person that was for abortion, and very articulate, well-dressed, looked good, just spoke very well. And then the guy who was doing the video editing says, watch this, to my brother-in-law. And they had this Christian who was the most bizarre person in the world. Couldn't articulate anything, was kind of goofy in what he was saying. Even back then, almost 40 years ago, they knew what they were doing. We want to promote our cause, abortion. This is the news media. And we're going to put down Christians. This man who they were filming about this gay man who was killed and this pastor they were interviewing had a sign that said, GodHatesFags.com. He's a false teacher. Run from that man. He doesn't hate them. He loves them. He died for them. If God hates sinners, we're all in trouble. He loves us. He died for us. We need to be careful how people view us because it will be a blemish on the entire body of Christ. We need to deal with sin within the church, absolutely, because it'll grow like a cancer. If you have someone that you think maybe they're doing the wrong thing or said the wrong thing or they have this teaching that you just are not sure about, talk with them. Hey, what's going on? Make sure you understand where they're coming from. Really what they're involved in, because you may have a wrong information. If they did wrong, if it's false teaching, if they're in sin, you correct them in love. But if it's not, if you just misunderstood them, you stopped a possible battle, maybe a civil war, right? As we're seeing here in Israel. You need to evaluate it. What are these guys going to say? What's their explanation? Is there a compromise? Are they sinning? Will civil war break out? Well, look at the explanation next in verse 21 of Joshua 22. This is what we're told. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it is rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. But in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, we said that it will be when they say this to us, to our generation in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle." I like this. They come and ask, what's going on? What are you doing? And the children that have built this order, the children of Israel that built this altar, basically say, look, if we did anything wrong, kill us. Wow. You know, they must have been pretty sure about themselves that they didn't do anything wrong. But boy, I like that. If what I'm doing, if what I'm teaching is contrary to the word of God, let me know. And if I refuse, remove me. That's the idea, I guess. I've never had anyone say that to me that was into false teaching. But these tribes did. And they did nothing wrong. The altar wasn't for sacrifices, for burnt offerings. It was a witness to future generations who may forget the ties they had with their brethren on the west side of the Jordan River and the God they served. It wasn't an act of rebellion. It was a witness that they're part of the family of God. Here's the thing. If they weren't living on the other side of the Jordan River, this wouldn't have been a problem, would it? No. But because of it, it was a problem to them. You got to be careful where you're living. And what I like as we conclude here this morning is the healing and the celebration. Civil war didn't break out. Look at verse 30. And when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord." And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Wow, look at the civil war was about to break out. It was halted because there was nothing going wrong. They weren't doing anything wrong. They explained what was happening. And now it's time for a celebration. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what's going on. They're just united in the Lord and they're celebrating. It's a joyous occasion. And that unity has to be based in truth, not apart from it. What a powerful lesson. Yes, you're to evaluate these things. Is it wrong? Is it a false teaching? Is it a false doctrine? Is it some sin that they're living in? Evaluate it. And if it's nothing, praise God. And if it's something, praise God, you could deal with it, hopefully. Hopefully their hearts are open to these things. And they'll turn back to the Lord. The other thing that we need to remember is we are not going to agree on every little point in the scriptures. We're going to be a little different in some areas. Not talking about foundational truths. Foundational truths are just that. They're foundational truths. And, you know, sometimes people get upset because when I teach, I teach very passionately. Why do I do that? Because I believe it. You think I just come up here and just say, well, it could be this. We'll see. I don't know. No. I teach it passionately because I'm searching the scriptures. I'm asking God to show me these things. I don't think there's anything wrong about being passionate about what you believe, but there are some issues that it may be wrong for you, it may be right for me, or vice versa. Here's an instance that I love rock and roll. As growing up, that's all I listened to, man, rock and roll. I can't listen to it anymore. The Lord said, not for you. Why? Because I'd be drawn right back into it. That's a problem for me. Now, that may not be a problem for you. You can listen to it. It doesn't bother you. It's not an issue. I'm not talking about vulgar, obscene, you know, lyrics to the song. But there is a lot of benign, non-Christian songs out there. And if it doesn't bother you, great. But for me, I'd be right back in the middle of it, you know, and it wouldn't be a good thing for me. See, those are things, yeah, we're not going to, you have, the Lord's allowing you to do this. He's not allowing me to do it. It's not a big deal. But people will fight over it. And I think the reason people fight over it, especially those that can't do something, is because they can't do it and the other person can. Oh, you're listening to rock and roll, you pagan, right? I didn't see that in here, but why would I feel that way? Because I can't listen to it. And if I can't listen to it, you're not going to listen to it either. No, that's wrong. Some people, it's television. We don't have a TV in our house. Well, praise God for you. If that's what the Lord has shown you, that's what you need to do. But again, don't make it into a commandment. And that's what sometimes happens. We need to be careful. The biggest problem today is we fight over issues like that, and we don't stand strong, we don't contend for the faith over the foundational truths, the doctrinal issues. You know, we spent a few years back dealing with that. We did a Foundation of Faith series, and it's on the internet, all the notes and the audio files and stuff. But we went through, we spent, I don't know, over a year looking at the foundations of faith, what we believe. We looked at God the Father. We looked at Jesus, God the Son. We looked at the Holy Spirit. We looked at the gifts of the Spirit. We looked at the Bible. We looked at all kinds of things that are foundational to our faith. Because I saw what was happening in the church in general, that they didn't know what they believed anymore. And people believed, yeah, there are many roads to God. We all get there. No, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's not many ways to God. There's only one way. It's pretty simple. So we need to be careful. We need to be in the Word of God. I think today is probably, and I'm not sure why, but it's one of the days for false teachers to grow exponentially. It's incredible. I've never seen so much garbage out there. I don't get it. All of us are responsible for our walk. We all are. I'm more accountable because I'm a teacher. I'm held at a higher level because I'm responsible for more people. But that doesn't negate your responsibility. You're to be in the Word of God. You're to be contending for the faith. Remember what Jude said, and it's kind of interesting. He said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. He wanted to write about our common salvation. Oh, well, all that God has done, what Jesus has done for us. He was so excited about writing that. Then he says, but I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to write about our common salvation, but God said, no, you need to tell them that you have to contend earnestly for the faith. You're going to have to fight. And I can't tell you, in the 21st century, I never thought this would happen so quickly, where I would have to contend for the faith among so-called believers. I look at some of the stuff that's out there. I'm not picking on Bethel, but their worship, they had women wearing bath towels. Well, I'm real sorry, but if I want to go to a strip club, I'll go to a strip club then. But I'm coming to church to worship the Lord, not to watch women dressed in bathrobes worshiping God. How do you do that? If you want to do it in your own house, that's fine, but not on the worship team. So, Art, don't get any ideas, okay? But this is what we're contending against. But they got good music, they got this, they got that. I don't really care. If they're wrong, they're wrong. And it needs to be dealt with in the church. Contending earnestly for the faith that's been entrusted to us. And here's the thing, it's not a new message that we have. It's not new doctrine that's been spoken. It's the message that's been given to the apostles and the prophets, and now to us. And we have to stand up, we have to contend for it, because it's a battle. I'll just kind of close with this, the dangers of conflict in the church and even outside the church, some points. Respond with concern for God's holiness. Put that at the forefront. It's all about His holiness. It's not about what I like or dislike. It's about His holiness. Respond with the courage to confront in love. Absolutely. I know some people, I just don't like to confront. Sometimes you have to. Respond with an attempt to reconcile before you fight. Absolutely. God's in the business of reconciliation. Determine that you are willing to sacrifice to help them. Don't confront unless you are willing to help. Absolutely. Determine that you will see the situation from the perspective of the other person. Yeah, evaluate it. Make sure that what they're doing is wrong or it's a false teaching or a false doctrine. Determine that you will believe the best of one another. I like that. We should think the best of people. Does it get me in trouble? Does it get people in trouble? Sure it does. Do you get taken advantage? Sure. Do you get your heart stomped on? Absolutely. Don't let that ever change. You know, I worked in the ICU as a nurse for 30 years, and it was hard. And I remember first starting out. One of the nurses who was working in the ICU, and I was in my early 20s when I was in there, said to me, you know, just got a heart in your heart. You can't feel for everyone. And that troubled me. That really, it was one of those things that just rubbed me the wrong way. And I thought, if I harden my heart, if I get cold to people, why am I even there? What's the point? Here's these patients that are hurting. Maybe they're dying, and they need someone to be there and care for them and show them love. Family members are just devastated over what's going on. Don't ever let your hearts get hard, cold, insensitive. You will get hurt. You will. That's just the way it is. But we have someone we can go to, the Lord. Lord, you know I tried my best. It hurts, because usually those that are closest to you will hurt you the most. I told you before, this is kind of, when people come to me, you're the greatest, this is the best church in the world, we'll never go anywhere else. I'm like, yeah, they'll be gone in 6 months. And it's pretty funny, because that's what happens. I don't know why, it just does. They kind of get off on something and that's it. Draw close to God, follow where He's leading. And yeah, there are dangers in conflict. We have to know how to handle it. Sin, false teaching, it has to be dealt with in love, not ignored. If there's a misunderstanding, you deal with it. You reconcile. If there's likes and dislikes, don't fight over it. There's no point. And what I like here is that we see healing and a celebration as brethren we're able to dwell together in unity. I pray that that's our heart's desire, that we desire to draw together in unity, to glorify God in all we do. Let's pray. Father, a tough message, Lord, and yet it's in there. Your Spirit gave this to us for a reason. We need to know how to deal with conflict. We need to examine it, and if it's true, if there is sin, if there's false teaching, false doctrine, it needs to be removed. And if not, just reconciliation, just restoring you. How important that is. We love you so much, Lord, and our heart's desire is to live for you. And we realize the danger of conflict that's out there today. There's a lot of stuff going on that we truly have to contend for. And Lord, give us the strength, give us the wisdom that we need to stand up for those things and to glorify you, to just understand you're a holy God, and we need to honor that in all that we do. We love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.